I invite you to take your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. This morning we're continuing this brief study on the various one another passages in the New Testament. We spent about 2 years in the book of Luke and then a couple months in the book of Titus this summer as we nominated officers, and now I thought rather than jumping into another new chapter by chapter, verse by verse study, we take a few weeks on more of a topical series on the one another's. And last week we introduced it from 1 Corinthians 13 and using that description of love as the outline for the ways in which we ought to love one another and the various responsibilities that we have to one another. And so today I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 as we consider being kind to one another. Ephesians chapter 4, before I read, let's pause and pray and ask the Spirit's assistance to understand His Word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to be here today together as Your people, to hear Your Word read and proclaimed, to honor You through worship. Lord, I pray that each of these elements that we have participated in will have been pleasing to You, that our hearts will have been intent on Your honor and glory. Lord, we pray that You would renew our zeal for serving You because we've been in Your presence today. Lord, what a privilege it is to hear Your Word without any fear of public opposition or shame. Lord, bless the hearing of it. May we be more than merely hearers. Grant us Your grace, fill us with Your Spirit, that we would know how we are to live on the basis of Your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now follow along in your copies of God's Word as we interrupt Paul's letter in the midst of chapter 4 and read verse 29 to 32. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." And this is how we could grieve Him. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." If we don't get rid of those things in our lives, we will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Instead, verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This ends a reading of God's Word. And again, may He enable us to apply what this means to be kind and compassionate to one another. As I said last week, we started this series using Paul's description of love from 1 Corinthians 13, and we began by saying that we are to be patient people. That loving one another means that we're patient with one another, but also meant that we're to be patient with God as He unfolds His plan in our lives. And also means that we are to be patient with everybody. Well, today we see that we are to be kind people. And the best way, as I attempted to do with our children just a few moments ago, was to tell them the best way to understand kindness is to see the kindness of God, to be able to see how He demonstrates kindness. And we can see the kindness through the triune God. God the Father declared about Himself through the prophet Jeremiah, "I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth." God the Father demonstrates, He exercises kindness throughout the earth. And we can see the kindness of Jesus in nearly all of His healing miracles. For example, on the occasion when remember the time when Jesus fell asleep in the boat and the raging storm came upon the disciples and they were fearful for their lives. And they woke Jesus up and they had the gall to accuse Jesus of not caring if they were going to die. Well, Jesus stood up and He rebuked the wind and the waves and they immediately became calm. And these disciples who were fearing for their life now began to fear for their souls. Listen to what they said. They said, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." However, Jesus showed them next that they did not need to be afraid of him, because his power was a demonstration of his kindness. Immediately after that storm, that boat landed on the other side of the sea where they were going, into the land of the Gerasenes. And you remember the man that was filled with demons, that they called Legion, overwhelmed with demons. People were afraid of this man. Jesus was not. He didn't avoid him like everybody else would have, but rather he invited him to come to him, and Jesus healed him of that demon possession. In fact, I remember this from when I was a little child, and my dad preached this sermon, and if I remember it correctly, this was when the swine flu was going through Kansas City, and he used that as a joke in this, on this message, that this was the first instance of the swine flu, where those pigs went over the edge into the sea. But Jesus demonstrated kindness to that man by not avoiding him like everybody else, but by healing him. But listen to what Jesus, this man wanted then to follow Jesus. This man begged Jesus to become one of his followers and come with him in the boat and go with him and his disciples. But Jesus said no. And listen to what Jesus said to him instead. He said, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." In other words, no, you cannot come with me as one of my followers. You are one of my followers, one of my disciples. But I want you to go to the people that know you and tell them how kind God has been to you. Tell them of the great things that God has done for you. God the Father is kind. God the Son is kind. And we can see in the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that God the Spirit also is kind to his people. We heard this a couple weeks ago in Titus chapter 3. In verse 4 it says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Because of his kindness, the Holy Spirit gives us a new birth. He cleanses us of sin. God is kind. And through the Apostle Paul, he calls us to be kind and compassionate as well. Sadly, however, this is, as we all know, this is not the normal attribute of the sinful heart of man. Paul says elsewhere that by nature, or in this passage, he says that by nature we are filled with bitterness, rage, and anger. We are not kind by nature. We have to put these out, put these away, put them to death, because that's our nature, to be filled with rage and bitterness and anger. It's not our nature to be kind. You have to be taught how to be kind. Our natural reaction is to be unkind and respond with vengeance and anger and outbursts when things are done in an unkind way to us. Thankfully, kindness is a fruit. It's a work of the Spirit of God that he produces in us. No, though it may not be part of our earthly nature, our natural attributes, God the Spirit is producing it within us, increasing it within us, making us more and more like his Son, making us kinder and more compassionate. And that leads me to my first point. Being kind requires grace. And really, it's also a response to God's grace. Without the grace of God, we won't be kind to others. Being kind to others requires the work of God's grace within us. We know, those of us at least that have been Christians for any length of time, we know that God saves us because he's gracious. We know that we are saved only by grace. We are not saved because of the good things that we have done, or that God saw in the future some good things that we might do in the future, therefore he saved us. No, we know that we are saved simply because God is gracious. Only because He is gracious. He chose to love us before we could do anything, good or bad. He determined to love you. He determined to be kind to you before you could do anything good or anything bad. In fact, Romans 9 makes that abundantly clear. God shows mercy to whom He desires to show mercy. Salvation is a kind work of God's grace, period. It's nothing that we do. And then after saving us through the new birth and cleansing us by the Holy Spirit, He begins to change us, making us more and more to look like His Son Jesus. It's a process of change. Your character begins to look more and more like the character of Christ. Your ability to love, your ability to express joy, peace, and patience, and kindness increases more and more as the Spirit of God makes you more and more like Christ. To see this as an example of this, why are strangers so surprised when you act kindly toward them? To use an example that one of the children used in the message, when someone drops something in Walmart, for example, or in the grocery store, and you bend over for them, pick it up for them, they're shocked at such kindness, a simple little thing. Why are strangers shocked by kindness? Because it's not natural. It's not normal. Something's different about you than what they normally see. They're overwhelmed. They're surprised when someone demonstrates kindness. Because this world is filled with every man for himself. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Just turn on the news. You can see it every day. Everyone's out for what they can get for themselves. But those of us who know Christ, we know we're called to live by a better standard. We show kindness and compassion to others because we have received the compassion and kindness of God our Father. He has been so kind to us. In this world, people tend to give to others only what they think they deserve. Or they show kindness and hope to receive it back. But God is full of grace and kindness. He blesses us with that which we do not deserve. As we saw earlier in the service, He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And the more we understand and appreciate the grace of God, the more we want to show kindness to others. Secondly, then, being kind to others requires action without expectations. Actions without expectations. As I said, many of us show kindness to our families and friends, and we should. I mean, that's where we should begin. But one of the reasons we are kind to them is because they're kind to us. It's similar to what we do at Christmas time. We give Christmas gifts. Sometimes we give them because we know that they're going to give us something, and so we better give them something too. It's reciprocal giving. And that's okay. It's fine. It's wonderful to give gifts, to be kind toward those that you know are going to be kind to you. We should. But it should not be the limits of our kindness. There's nothing wrong with showing such kindness. But Jesus speaks about a love that goes much further than that. When He gave the command to love your neighbor as yourself, the man quickly asked Him, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then, of course, you know probably the story that comes next is what we call the story of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus tells the story of the man that was on the isolated road and gets robbed and beaten and left bleeding and naked. And a priest passed by and saw the man, but he ignored him, crossed on the other side. A Levite did the same thing, didn't help. Then a Samaritan walked by. Samaritans were hated by the Jews, considered to be half-breeds. But in Jesus' story, it wasn't a Samaritan that was wounded. It was a Samaritan that stopped and helped the wounded Jew. Cleaned his wounds, put him on his own donkey, took him to the closest town, to an inn, paid for his care, paid for his lodging. The wounded man was a total stranger. And Jesus said that love is not directed toward those who can love us in return, but to those who wouldn't expect it. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, and I like this paraphrase of these familiar words of Jesus. It says, if all you do is love those who love you, what do you expect, a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any normal sinner can do that. I know a college student that has made a desire of his to get to know international students. And he said he will sometimes just greet them on the sidewalk. And they'll look kind of stunned, like, why is he saying hi to me? And it's just an opportunity for him to get to know them. And he sees this as an opportunity for ministry on a campus with international students. It's simply by greeting, simply by saying hi. And Jesus said, if you say hi to people, if you greet them, if you welcome people who welcome you, what good is that? Any normal sinner can do that. Show kindness to people that don't expect it, that are undeserving even. As you're out and about this week, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to be kind. And it's okay, and obviously it's good to be kind to family and friends, and maybe some of you need to start there. But in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Of course, start with your family. Start with your own immediate family. Start within the family of believers. But that should not be the limit of your goodness, of your kindness to others. It should also stretch out to all people, to those that don't expect it, to those that you don't expect to pay you back. And that leads me to my last point. Being kind to others requires a universal application. In Ephesians 2, after Paul says that we are saved by grace, in verse 10, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We are created for the purpose of doing good. But God has already prepared the good that we are supposed to do. He also says that we should walk in them. In other words, I think sometimes we have this idea when we're encouraged or challenged to be kind or to do good, we think of the big things. What great thing could I do this week for someone? And again, that's okay. It's fine to think in terms of great things. But Paul's driving this home a little bit closer, or a little bit closer to home. Don't just think about the big things. Walk in them. Do them every day. It's a normal part of your life. Not just the big things. Not just the, but always in the common everyday experiences. God has created us to do good in the common and ordinary everyday life. Don't limit the great things that we can do. Because I think most of our opportunities for demonstrating kindness come in the everyday. Come within your families, within your workplaces. The hard thing is not really doing it, it's looking for the opportunities to do it. We get so consumed with ourselves and our own responsibilities and the jobs for that day, what I need to accomplish in this day, that we don't look for the opportunities to demonstrate kindness. So the challenge here is that we must begin at home, but not limit ourselves at home. But to apply this, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves. Because it's a daunting task to be able to commit ourselves to do good at all times to all people. To be kind to all people is a daunting challenge. Because by nature, we're either too selfish or we get too distracted. The home is a wonderful place for us to begin. Husbands, the best way for you to show your children how much you love their mom is to be kind to her. To respond in kindness when she doesn't deserve it or she's not looking for it. To respond with acts of kindness when she doesn't expect it. Visible for the children. And ladies, one of the best ways for you to demonstrate your love for your husband is provide an opportunity for him to be kind and not to mock his kindness, but to provide opportunities also that where you can demonstrate kindness to him in a way in which you sacrifice for your children or for him. We begin in the home, but it also has an impact in our workplaces. Sometimes I think we view our job simply as a necessity to pay the bills, simply as a necessity to be able to enjoy life. If we can increase our paycheck, we can enjoy life more. And our job simply is an opportunity to make money. But rather, we ought to look at our job and our career as the place in which God has put us so that we can do these good works that God has prepared for us to do. Who can I be kind to today at work that isn't expecting it? What good can I do for the benefit of others? Why has he put me in this place at this time in my life at this job when I wanted a different job? What is the good? What is the kindness that I can demonstrate today? If you're not using your job as an opportunity to genuinely meet the needs of others, then you need to change the way you're looking at your job. And it could be as extreme as maybe the need to change jobs so that you can get a fresh start. We need to look at our lives as an opportunity to do the good that God has prepared for us to do. People desperately need to see what God is like, and they see him through you, through your acts of kindness. People today think that all the gods of all the religions are the same. But we know they're not. We know there's only one true God. And he uses his people to demonstrate his character. Now, he can do so without your help. He doesn't need you. I mean, if he could use a donkey to talk to Balaam, he could use my dumb dog to talk to my neighbor if he chose to. But he chooses to use us as the means by which people can see him and get to know him. He uses our acts of kindness as a means for us to talk about the kindness that he has shown to us. The question here isn't, does God do that? But the question is, are we recognizing that? Are we being kind to people so that we can demonstrate Christ's kindness to us? Our closing hymn, and we're not going to sing it yet, but I want to go ahead and turn to it. It's hymn number 411, or 441 rather. It may not seem like the perfect fit for being kind. It looks like a better fit for a mission Sunday. And in fact, we've sung this, and many churches will sing this on a Sunday, which way they emphasize missions. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. But look at verse 3. And this is why you'll see how this fits so beautifully with this need to be kind to one another and to all people. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. There's a picture of humanity. Down in the human heart, crushed. Men are crushed today. Crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that only grace can restore. touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Our simple acts of kindness, demonstrating the kindness of God, demonstrating His compassion, can reverberate in the chords of a human heart, awakening them to Christ. The Holy Spirit can use your kindness to awaken people. As we have the opportunity this week, let us be kind. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. And may they see our good deeds and praise our Heavenly Father. Let's sing this closing hymn now, hymn number 441, but let's pause before and let's pray before we sing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have demonstrated Your kindness to us by giving us Your Son, overwhelming us because we know what our sins deserve. We know that we have left many things undone that we should have done. We have broken promises that we have made. We have lied and done things that we wished we never would have done. We've said things that we wished we never would have said. Even in the hidden secrets of our thoughts, we know we have thought things that never should have come into our hearts and minds. We know that we have all sinned. We can always point to someone else that has sinned worse than we have. But we know. But Father, how thankful we are that we've been reminded today that because of Your kindness and compassion, You've not treated us as our sins have deserved. But that doesn't mean that You're unjust. Because Your justice and wrath have been poured out upon Your Son in our place. We are the recipients of Your kindness because He has received Your wrath. So, Father, in response, I pray that we would be quick to demonstrate kindness this week to anyone. That we would look for opportunities to do good, to be kind to people. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that they can see Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as we demonstrate kindness, that we won't only demonstrate it, but we would also have the courage to explain why we demonstrate kindness and lovingly tell them about Your love for us. And how kind You have been to change us. Lord, thank You that You have given us the joy of participating in rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying by simply demonstrating Your kindness and compassion. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.